Are you struggling to hire diverse tech talent? After all, every organization in the world is now a tech company, and the ability to attract, hire, and retain tech talent from all backgrounds is critical to their success. Enter Hackajob, a reverse marketplace that actively vets engineers. We flip the traditional model on its head, meaning companies apply to engineers versus candidates applying to jobs, with companies getting an 85% response rate to candidates they reach out to, as well as exposure to tech talent that directly meets their organization's diversity objectives. Companies such as S&P Global, CarMax, and Sensor Tower are all using Hackajob. Why not join them? Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today. Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Keep my co-host name out your fucking mouth. Whatever, man. Bald jokes are always funny. Yo, it's the Chad and Cheese Podcast. This is your co-host, Joel, and the Oscar goes to Cheeseman.
And this is Chad. I love me some universal healthcare, so wash.
On this week's show, candidate ID gets a rousing applause, hacker rank makes it rain, and porn star Brie Olsen finally helps us break down the great resignation like only a porn star can. Let's do this.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman, I'm talking about TextKernel.
Okay, that makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh my God, really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey, kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener, get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos. What happened, man? It's been an interesting morning for you.
Yeah, it's been an interesting morning. So my wife is incredibly beautiful, but she's also clumsy as she is beautiful. And the roads here in Europe aren't quite as OSHA certified.
Yeah, they're 3,000 years old.
Yeah, right. I mean, you've had the same issue, right? I mean, with some Lime scooters in Paris.
Come on now.
A little bit different. Yeah, Julie found herself smack dab on the bricks. And so we had to try out the universal healthcare. We were in and out within just over an hour. They did x-rays.
Really?
Everything. We came to the attendant after and we're like, hey, where do we pay? And she's like, oh, no, we don't need your money. And I'm like, okay.
Okay. And it only took an hour?
Yeah, it only took an hour. It was in and out, dude.
Yeah, I think most Americans have a vision of, like, you know, skeletons with cobwebs in the corner, you know, waiting to get seen by a doctor. So that's very heartwarming that an hour in, no money, no cast. I mean, the x-ray was fine. Julie's okay.
Yeah. Yep,
and,
yep.
You guys will be hitting happy hour right after the show, I assume. So,
amen. Awesome. Amen. But it won't be the kind of happy hour that Chris Rock had. Give me your take on this, okay? Like, what's your take on this smack? Did you think this was real? Was this bullshit? I mean, tell me about this.
So I saw it live, and I did think initially that it was fake.
Yeah, me too.
But then when they started muting out Will Smith and sort of everything got jumpy, I thought, oh shit, that wasn't supposed to happen. And then, of course, it came out that it was real and everything came out. So I have a lot to say about this. Most of it has already been said in endless memes and blog posts and podcasts. So I won't go too much into it. My worldview, as a parent, one teenager, one tweener, and one, you know, toddler, basically, is I look at the world through their eyes and how they might view this, view this incident. And to me, from that point of view, it was just horrible, because number one, violence is never right unless it's self-defense. So you have that sort of one of their heroes, right? Will Smith, someone that they look up to, or at least have enjoyed from that perspective. So not only, you know, he assaults Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And instead of being, like, escorted out of the building, or, you know, he got to sit there, he got to get his award. He got to go upstage. He got a standing ovation, and then he partied at the Vanity Fair, you know, shindig for hours on end and got celebrated. So one, you know, violence is never the answer. And when it happens, you shouldn't celebrate people that do it. All in all, it was horrible. It was a bad look for, I think, America. There was very little good about it. Although I do think that Chris Rock's de-escalating of the occurrence and sort of, you know, turning the other cheek was admirable. And I think his stock is going to come out of this much higher than Will Smith's.
That's my focus. My focus is how Chris Rock handled it. And that was the most mature of any adult in that room. So I think we should definitely focus on, there are going to be assholes in the room. How do you handle them? Right. And that was very admirable. So, yeah, I think we should definitely focus, instead of all on Will Smith, on Chris Rock and how he dealt with this. Yep. Definitely Team Rock. Excellent. And I'm Team Shout Outs. Let's do that.
All right. Shout outs. Well, I'm going to double down on your Will Smith shout out. I'm going to give a shout out to Bruce Willis.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've read this, being over in Europe and all, but he's been diagnosed with a disease called aphasia, which I had never even heard of. It apparently alters speech and brain function. You string sentences together that have no sense whatsoever. And it's kind of hard to be an actor when you can't speak. So he is going to be retiring from the acting business. Clearly, for you and I in our age group, one of the most iconic actors, action stars, heartthrobs for the ladies out there. I mean, just a cool dude. Pulp Fiction, one of my favorite movies. He's great in all those. So shout out to him. Really sad, but he has left a great legacy, particularly for people our age who were super into movies in the 80s and 90s. And this guy's a rock star. So shout out to him. Heart goes out to his family, and hope that he lives a happy, healthy life for what's left.
The best Bruce Willis movie, Die Hard. Original Die Hard. Can't beat it.
No question.
Amazing, right? Another heartthrob that we're going to give a shout out to, Anoop Gupta.
There you go. Heartthrob alert.
Nominated as a finalist for GeekWire's CEO of the Year. Way to go, Anoop.
Woo-hoo, and sexy.
And let me double down on that one. Quincy Valencia. That's right, kids. Queen of the chatbots, friend of the show. She is getting a big shout out for being listed as one of the top women in RPO for 2022. I'm going to tell you right now, she is tops when it comes to RPO, when it comes to tech, when it comes to these, this industry, period.
Does she get a gold chain for that, or a wrestling belt for that, for winning that? Well, then it's bullshit if she doesn't get into those things.
She should.
Yeah. Shout out to business travel. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It's back, baby.
That's right.
Transactions are up significantly over the past 9 weeks. According to SAP Concur, a travel and expense software provider, small and medium-sized companies are driving much of the acceleration. The increase is driven by a host of factors. Workers are returning to the offices. Sorry, Chad. Restrictions are dropping domestically and internationally. The clients who once steered away from in-person meetings are once again comfortable with face-to-face get-togethers. And I, for one, can't be happier. Business travel is back, baby.
Yeah. It's all good in the business travel hood. Big shout out to JobVite's Job Seeker Nation survey. I've got some points of information to share with you and the listeners out there. Sure. Great stuff. 45% of candidates are actively looking for a new job or plan to within the next year. So we keep talking about the great resignation. It's still happening, kids. They're planning for it to happen. 32% would quit a job without having another lined up. That was something you never did back in the day, right? It's happening all the time right now. 30% have left a job within the first 90 days of starting. 58% said comp is the top factor in the decision-making process. 63% of candidates who have interacted with a chatbot believe they have improved the experience. Did you hear that?
Chatbots have
improved the experience. And last but not least, kids, 56% of candidates preferred text or SMS interview scheduling over an email or a phone call. Again, we keep talking about how tech can help you have a better experience. Fucking use it, people. Come on.
Speaking of tech, shout out to industry veteran Sanjay Seth, founder of Rise Smart. He's got a brand new bag, baby. Succeed Smart, which claims to democratize executive search. Whatever the hell that means, has secured $6 million in seed funding this week. I first met Sanjay back in 2007-ish or so. He was like a three-person company in Dallas, Texas when he was starting Rise Smart. So I wish him the best. He's a solid dude, a nice guy. Shout out to Sanjay and Suck Smart. I mean, Succeed Smart. Fucking autocorrect. Anyway, shout out to Sanjay.
Shout outs. All right. Events, baby.
Events, baby. We're back on the road. Business travel is back. Where are we going?
It's happening. We're going to be in Belgium May 5th. So if you are in Europe, come on. Get a flight. It's just a quick and easy hop. Come to Belgium. Go to erecruitment-congress.com. Check that out. And not to mention, get your tickets for Unleash. We're going to be in Vegas the latter part of May. And to tell you what, our schedule is starting to get really tight, really crazy, really hectic. Go to chadcheese.com, click on events in the top right corner, see where we're going to be. Join us there. Register. Can't wait to see you.
Let's have a drink. Have a drink with Chad and Cheese. And while you're there, go to free. Get some free shit, by the way. I got to mention, we got shirts by Emissary. We got beer from Pillar. And we have whiskey from our friends at TexKernel. When you're at ChadCheese.com, after you click on the travel schedule, click free, submit your information. We'll get you some stuff, potentially.
Delivered to your front door.
I think everyone on the list has gotten something at some point. And speaking of getting something,
yes.
Birthdays. Real excited about this one. Jeremy Cheeseman enjoys a birthday today.
Little man.
Little man turns 5.
Wow.
I think we recorded our first show a week before he came, about a month early. So this show and my last child will be always connected at the hip, whether that's good or bad. Also celebrating a birthday is fan Megan Sharp. Dan Cheeseman, no relation whatsoever at ZipRecruiter. James Holloman, Paolo Barriga, Steve Levy, Mike Temkin, no longer a member. He's retired, but he still listens to Chad and Cheese.
He's the OG.
Because he knows what's up. Speaking of what's up, Elin Tengai Martinsen, our friend out in Sweden, celebrates another birthday this month. Jessica Rush from Paradox. Hank Stringer from It's Big, as well as an Empire.com back in the day. And Rachel Roberts all celebrate birthdays this week.
So happy birthday.
Have one on Chad and Cheese.
It's topics.
All right. Our first story, a little bit of news you might have caught. Recruitment technology firm iSEMS has acquired Candidate.id, a vendor of software that automates and personalizes recruitment marketing campaigns. The purchase price was not disclosed. Boo. Candidate ID's management and team of more than 20 people will continue to operate from their Glasgow, Scotland. As part of iSEMS, Candidate ID, founded in 2016, brings dozens of customers to the table. iSEMS has been on an acquisition spree in recent years, and we've talked about all of them. They've bought text recruiting solution TextRecruit, that's 2018, recruitment cloud firm Jibe, 2019, language processing firm, and deathmatch winner Opening.io, that was 2020. iSEMS filed for an IPO in August. iSEMS boasts more than 4,000 customers, including 40% of the Fortune 100. Chad, good things happen to good people. Your thoughts?
Damn straight. Well, I wanted to have Adam on the show, but you know how it is. He's going to have to be corporate now. So he's getting locked down. So I was like, okay, let me get one question. Adam, why was iSEMS such a good fit for Candidate ID on this acquisition? So go ahead and roll that beautiful bean footage.
Here's Adam Gordon.
Well, there's really two answers to that. But the first one's great. So just over 2 years ago, we saw an announcement from iSEMS that they hired a new CEO. And we thought that was quite interesting. But then when we noticed that that person had most recently been the CEO of Marketo and sold it to Adobe, Scott and I just thought that's going to be great for us. For anybody listening that doesn't know who Marketo is, it's one of the thoroughbred marketing automation platforms that B2B sales teams would use. And we were just delighted because we knew it was going to shine a spotlight on marketing technology, marketing automation technology within the TA world. And so, you know, we kind of wondered whether iSEMS might go and build its own marketing automation technology. And if it did, we knew that was going to be good for us. But I mean, we didn't necessarily know this was the way it was going to go, but, you know, we're pretty happy with it. Then the second reason was we got to meet a whole bunch of other people in the business, like Diane and Laura Caccaro and Mike Wilczek and Peter Modica and Al Smith. And we, you know, from summer last year right through till now, we liked every single one of them. And what we noticed was their vision for what they wanted to do and what we knew we could do was absolutely aligned, completely aligned. And so then we looked at the customer base at iSEMS and we went, wow, big customer base, lots of in-demand talent needing hired in healthcare, in tech, in business services. And so there was a really good overlap on that. And, you know, we just got to the point where we thought we've really proven this. We've got a good customer base at Candidate ID. But if we want to get to like 1,000 customers, we need, I've described it as bigger wings. We need bigger wings. And there's not really bigger in TA technology than iSEMS. So, you know, the fit for us was really obvious.
Really obvious. And in full transparency, I was an investor and advisor. So there's going to be a little bias from this side of the mic.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting for us because we got to see Adam and Scott. I mean, really, not back in 2015 when they first started, but early on, Adam was on the show. He was also on Deathmatch. He's on the show multiple times.
Yeah.
So we got a chance to really, you know, become friends, right?
Yep.
And to be able to also know the people at iSEMS, you know, Mike Wilczek and the gang over there,
yep.
And then have the conversations around, wait a minute, Steve –
Lucas is a Marketo guy. Jesus Christ, man, this is this could be perfect.
Yeah.
And it actually ended up this way. Who would have known that it ended up this way? I'm glad it did. At the end of the day, that to me is awesome. But think about it. And let's get into the market real quick. JonFight mm-hmm. just released their new Evolve platform that unified all their tech, including their marketing automation. And now iSIMS plucks the best Marketo for recruiting platform off the board. I think, and you tell me what you think, is this a holy shit moment for Phenom and Beamery right now?
I would say so. We talk about the platform wars quite a bit, and it looks like those companies maybe need a bigger boat at this point, need to find a suitor. But I had four things that I wanted to focus on this, mm-hmm. if you'll humor me.
Please.
My first reaction to this was a little bit of sadness, actually. Because I knew the odds of someone we both like so much personally, yeah. Adam, was probably mm-hmm. On his way out of the industry eventually. Like Amon Brar, Shane Gray, Eric Kostelnik, and others. Adam mm-hmm. is likely to get the hell out of Dodge once his contractual obligations are fulfilled. Time will tell on that. I guess we'll see. But I had an initial sadness, like it will be sad if Adam leaves the industry. Yeah. My second was, I love that Candidate ID took note of Marketo's former CEO taking over iSIMS as an open door to get a deal done. So often we talk about the buyer being the one who uh-huh. finds the deals, whether it's maybe through their marketplace or something else. And sometimes it's the acquired company that initiates a deal. So there's a lesson there for startups out there. If you see a window open, like, jump through it as soon as possible and use this as a guide. Third, I wonder how this plays into the iSIMS IPO, which feels a little stalled to me at this point. I appreciate that timing maybe isn't great to go public with the market crashing, global conflict, et cetera. But acquiring a business before the IPO is a bit odd to me. Anyway, time will tell on that, and we'll see. But lastly, you mentioned it, or you touched on it, was the crowdfunding strategy that Candidate ID chose is going to be, I think, a future trend that we're going to see more and more of, particularly mm-hmm. as you see success stories like this one. I know you invested, obviously. I think others like Tim Sackett, industry folks were able to get in on a company that they've read about, that they've researched, maybe that they're actually using or mm-hmm. recommending to customers. And I think that's exciting, you know, to think you don't have to be a venture capitalist or have a certain amount of income or have certain licenses to invest in these companies is really, really cool. Side note, Paradox's investing arm took a little piece yeah. of Candidate ID as well. So mm-hmm. they had a nice little payday. I think crowdfunding is going to gain steam in light of this deal. I've grabbed a small piece of This Way Global last year. They're on WeFunder. I think they still are. More than anything, just to learn how the process goes. And I'd like to ask you, you know, did you get a check immediately? Like, they used like a European platform, right? You can talk about that if you want. If not, that's no big deal. But I think that would be an interesting lesson for the audience who want to get involved in crowdfunding. So a lot of facets to this deal. Mm-hmm. And I think it just begs a lot of thoughtfulness about what it means for the future, as well as sort of how it impacts companies in the present.
Short answer, money's already in the account.
Okay.
If you take a look at this, I mean, Candidate ID only took $3 million, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about unicorns all the time, but I think the real stories, the real platforms that make this industry run are the workhorses. Mm-hmm. And Candidate ID was one of those workhorses. You know, we do talk about, and I'm going to give some shit to Beamer and Phenom because they are the bigger platforms that are out there right now. But originally, you know, their messaging was around trying to be really good at marketing automation. Again, trying to be that Marketo for recruiting and trying to bridge that gap. But after receiving tons of cash, tons of funding, they had to broaden up their product offering to justify a greater TAM for investors. Mm-hmm. And then they lost focus and they never, ever got an opportunity really to become that Marketo for recruiting just because they took so much money. So yeah. when we talk about all of these unicorns, it's fun. Don't get me wrong. It sure. is fun. But we can't forget about these smaller organizations who didn't take a lot of money, or maybe mm-hmm. they're still fucking bootstrapping, or they turned down money right? We talked about Hire EZ a few months ago.
Yep.
There was a lot more money than I think it was $26 million there to take. But the CEO said, guess what? I don't want that dilution. So it's really interesting to see the path that organizations take. And this is just a great success story for a great team.
Yeah. It's not too little money that tanks companies. It's too much money, which is a great segue into our next news story, assuming you're done with candidate ID and ISIM. So let's talk about HackerRank. And holy shit, we got a unicorn alert possibly on this one, although it's not official. HackerRank, a coding challenge hiring platform, announced a $60 million Series D funding round, bringing its total raise to $115 million. Investors included the Randstad Innovation Fund and Recruit Holdings, owner of Indeed and Glassdoor. Isn't that interesting? Vivek Ravisankar, which I probably did not say correctly, CEO of HackerRank, said, quote, "It's never been more critical to hire the right developer with the right skill set," end quote. HackerRank reported it has more than 2,800 customers, including more than 25% of the Fortune 100 and a community of 18 million developers. It is based in Mountain View, California. This is exciting news for our buddy Vivek, isn't it, Chad?
It sure is. And can you imagine how Vivek and the crew over at HackerRank felt when they heard Stack Overflow was pulling out of the jobs and talent market? Right? So think of this now. Stack Overflow's exit in this market is going to create a vacuum that now HackerRank, with this money, can fill. And that's their job, right? They've got to take a look at what Stack was, the market that Stack was going to have. Mm-hmm. They've got to fill that before somebody else does. So it's time to go aggressive and take hold of becoming the alpha male in the market that right now doesn't really have a dominant alpha, right? There are a ton of different organizations, a ton of different platforms, but there's no real alpha per se. And we all thought that GitHub was going to be a much bigger player after the acquisition by Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And then obviously coupling strategies, not tech, but coupling strategies with LinkedIn. But that didn't happen either. So the pole position is there to be had, and hopefully Vivek and HackerRank can grab it.
Yeah, and it's a great contrast to the Beameries and the Phenoms of the world in terms of money raised and time to do that. So HackerRank has been around for a long time. It was founded
2009?
Back in 2009. And up until now, they've been very conservative with the fundraising. This company's never felt like a flip. It's never felt like a get big and go hard and then sell. And it's always felt like a community and not as much of a corporate entity. And I think that's just sort of the organic nature of how it's grown. At this point, the number of potential buyers is dwindling when you start raising this much money. Remember Microsoft acquiring GitHub in 2018 for $7.5 billion.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if now HackerRank is eyeing an IPO, which I really hope they pursue. I'm frankly tired of monitoring DICE. Let's get HackerRank on the public markets and show DAX and Zip how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
I'll add that GitHub is facing some community backlash. You can Google it if you're interested, but that could also be driving HackerRank's interest in sort of staying solo and not selling to a big Goliath. So I as well as I think you are rooting for HackerRank, and I would love to see them go public on their own and let the cards, fall where they may. And I think they'd have a lot of success based on what they do, which is fantastic work. And they've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. And definitely go out to Google and search Chad Cheese and Vivek and our HackerRank. We actually interviewed him a couple of years ago. Great guy. Great guy. And one of the things he said that I thought was incredibly poignant was there are enough developers out there. We keep saying that there's a lack of developers. He totally called bullshit on that, said there are enough developers if you are looking remote. And now, and this was before the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
Guess what? Everybody's fucking remote. So, I mean, he was fashion forward, no question.
We love us some good bullshit callers, don't we, Chad? Well, let's take a quick break and pay some bills, and we'll talk about more startups and money and stuff.
Human resources is supposed to be about humans. I mean, it's right there in the name. But when your hiring team is more like an assembly line, glued to their computers, manually posting heaps of jobs everywhere they can think of, that human part feels nowhere to be found. This is a new era. Pando IQ takes the mind-numbing copy-pasting and nerve-wracking guesswork out of the job posting process. When you plan a hiring campaign with Pando IQ, you tell us who you need. Then, before you ever spend a cent, we predict what it will cost to find them. Pando IQ chooses the ideal recruiting sites from thousands of options, targeting the ones your next great hire frequently visits, then fires off your ads at precisely calculated times, surfacing the most relevant applicants for you to pick from. Now you're free to get to know the best talent, build great teams, and take care of your humans. Pando IQ will do the rest, so you can get back to doing what the computers can't.
For more information on Pando IQ, go to pandologic.com. That's pandologic.com.
And we're back.
On the rise, or not so much.
There's got to be a bad joke in there somewhere, a bad dad joke. All right, let's talk about WorkRise. A little less than a year ago, Austin startup WorkRise, also known as RigUp, which has grown by linking businesses in the energy sector with needed workers, raised $300 million. That was just a year ago, Chad, in new funding. This week, the company announced it is laying off some employees. The news comes less than a year after the company touted a pre-funding valuation of $2.9 billion.
Unicorn.
Executives couldn't immediately be reached for details on how many employees were impacted, but commenters on Glassdoor and Blind estimated layoffs will be in the hundreds. Chad, what do you make of this news?
Unicorn down. Like I said, you know, it's not all about the money, right? A lot of it has to do with go to market. It has to be around understanding the market. They talk about, in very vague terms, verticals, shutting down verticals that are obviously underperforming. What fucking verticals are you talking about in the energy market? You know, there are some that obviously we want to try to get away from, coal and petroleum. But I mean, where? What other verticals? Right. To me, this feels like a diversion. It's weird. It really is. It seems more like mismanagement than it does anything else, because this is when they should be fucking booming.
Yeah.
I don't know. But in a letter to employees procured by our friends over at the AIM Group, so way to go, AIM Group. Mm-hmm. The letter said, quote, "We will immediately right size parts of our business and divert from others. We've signed buyers for one of our businesses and are exploring sales for the rest," close quote. So again, what the fuck is going on? Are you selling them off? Are you shutting them down? Again, it seems like a diversion. We don't know what's really going on there.
Yeah, I agree. This one's a hard one to break down because we don't know how the company is pivoting, right? They haven't been very transparent on that. You know, thanks to Russia, jobs and energy and opportunities should be smoking hot right now. This should be a shit hot company. I have a hard time thinking that they're just ignoring that opportunity. I also wonder how the airball that was the Build Back Better initiative at the federal government level hasn't had a negative impact on companies like WorkRise. Big federal checks mean a lot of opportunity and job postings, which isn't going to happen because that legislation got voted down. When you're valued at almost $3 billion, the rope gets really short and the room for error shrinks significantly. I'll say it again. Companies don't fail because they take too little money. They fail because they take too much money. And this might be in full effect with WorkRise. The question going forward to me is this: is WorkRise a canary in the coal mine for all the unicorns we've been highlighting for the past 24 months? I say yes, but only time will tell, Chad.
I think it is the canary in the coal mine for all of those organizations who literally have no focus and discipline. And that's hard. Unless you actually break down and understand their go-to-market, if you can better understand that, then you can see where especially a startup's going to go awry, right? When they're going to go into a tailspin and they're going to fucking nosedive. That's the hard part, though, to be able to actually get in. And, you know, as an advisor, in some cases, I get a chance to actually peek my nose in and see some of those things. And you do as well. Mm-hmm. In this case, is it go-to-market? Is it leadership? I mean, I can't see where it would be anything else because this is a shit-hot market. But for the rest of the unicorns, I mean, they should definitely be scared and they should be taking note.
Yeah, I mean, on a macro level, when you see, you know, Zoom, DoorDash, fill in whatever high-flying COVID-inspired stocks that you can think of are all down 40, 50, 60%. If you don't think that's impacting our industry, although these aren't public companies, you're dead wrong. And a lot of investors are looking at these. You're going to see a lot of down rounds. You're going to see a lot of layoffs. You're going to see a lot of bad news, I think, coming out of these companies. And we'll be happy to talk about it here on the show. And speaking of happy about talking about it, let's get into FutureFit. It's a GPS for your career, Chad. FutureFit AI, a New York City-based AI-powered career navigation platform provider, has closed on a first funding round of $4.5 million. The investment was co-led by JPMorgan Chase and Acumen America. FutureFit AI says it is the market leader as the navigation layer of workforce development, seamlessly connecting multiple stakeholders and solutions in one comprehensive user journey. The platform uses advanced labor market data and machine learning to identify an individual's starting point in the labor market, recommend best fit career path destinations, and build a personalized roadmap of learning resources and work opportunities to successfully guide them from point A to point B. Chad, are you feeling future fit, or is this one a little too baggy for your baby gap-like frame?
So this is a perfect example of what we were just talking about around discipline. These guys need to pick a fucking lane, for God's sakes. They only have $5.5 million in total. Crunchbase is missing a million for some reason. They don't know whether to focus on users, corporate, or government. Right? And they're not big enough to be able to go after all of them. If you're trying to go after transactional and you're trying to get everybody to actually download this fucking thing and use it for career, the GPS for your career, that is an entirely different model than going after talent acquisition, right? And they have a very, very, very light touch on talent acquisition, IM, kind of like all the talent management pieces on their website. So, I mean, again, they need to pick a fucking lane. These guys are way too early and way too small to be this broad and this fucking nebulous. This is the perfect example of what you shouldn't be doing as a startup.
Sounds like a sell from you, Chad. I don't know.
Easily.
Sounds like a sell. Man, I hate companies like this. GPS for your career, like, fuck off. Give me a break.
Tinder for your career.
It feels predatory to me, like a resume writing service or the ladders or JobFox. It's vaporware to help employers feel good about themselves for thinking they're actually helping their workforce. There's no transparency around the pricing of this shit or what the product actually is. You got to sign up for a demo for everything. They throw around big logos like, you know, they're the shit. They say they've been featured in The Economist. Really? The Economist? But I can't Google any proof that they've ever been in The Economist. I hate these kind of companies, and I am a huge sell on it. And I'll echo your sentiments like future fuck fit, man. That fuck them. All right, let's move on. Let's not give any more oxygen.
Please.
To future fit. Let's give it to cybersecurityjobs.com. All right, this is from our friend, friend of the podcast, Chris Russell.
Love that guy.
The mad scientist of recruiting technology.
Love that guy.
He says, quote, is a keyword-based job domain for an industry niche worth $200,000? Well, the new owner of cybersecurityjobs.com thinks so. They just purchased it at auction via Sado. The sale is the biggest jobs-related domain purchase in quite a while. Niche domains like this don't usually sell for six figures. Chad, what do you make of this investment? And I put investment in air quotes.
So 2007 called and they want their exact match domain marketing back. That's exactly what I think. They're already way behind players like HackerRank, and a domain won't fix that, right? So this to me feels like pets.com, the dot-com bubble, which is preparing to bust. There's way too much money being flushed into this market for stupid shit, like a domain that is, I think, what, seven syllables? This is fucking ridiculous.
Seven. I never thought of it as number of syllables. Anyway, so a quick history of URLs for the kids out there. There was a time when really only the .com mattered. So if you could acquire that, good for you. There was a time when the SEO benefits of an exact match or exact key phrase domain was a good thing. You actually ranked well when you owned ToledoJobs.com. Those days are gone because Google has said it's not that big a deal. Sometimes it still works, but it's not a slam dunk like it used to be.
Right.
And type in traffic used to be a real thing. People actually used to put in what they were searching for and then just add a .com at the end of it in their browser, and wherever it took them was wherever they thought they should go.
Well, usually thanks. A porn site.
Yes, thanks. Yeah, like whitehouse.com. Anyway, go there if you'd like, listeners. So what am I saying? Where did I go? Okay, so I can't see anywhere. Okay, so apps, app stores, marketplaces, and the dilution of TLDs, i.e. like introducing hundreds of new top-level domains, have slowly chipped away at the value of keyword-rich domains. They're not as hard to get anymore, as long as you're fine putting a .ai or a .io at the end of it. So I can't really see a world where this is a good investment unless, Chad, this company has a budget to market the shit out of this URL. It's easy to remember. Cybersecurity is obviously hot and probably will be for years to come. But short of millions in marketing, this is dumb. They yes. should have just bought a Bored Ape NFT. And I'm only half joking about that part.
Yeah, or cyberjobs.io or some shit like that, right? But yeah, this to me, again, 2007 called, give it back.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of giving back, we're going to take a break, refill my water glass and coffee cup, and we'll be back with some porn stars.
Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance, and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
All right, Chad, we've been struggling with making sense of the Great Resignation for over a year. If only we had just asked famed adult actress Brie Olsen for the answers. Listeners might remember Brie as one of Charlie Sheen's love interests almost a decade ago. But who knew she could crystallize the issues plaguing employers all over in a single TikTok? No word if she has the credentials, but she did apparently attend Purdue University for about 2 days. Have a listen and make up your own mind.
I'm watching 60 Minutes and they're like, where are the Gen Z female workers going? That is like the biggest one besides boomers. Where are they? Like, they're quitting their jobs and they're not coming back. And they're interviewing someone from LinkedIn and they're like, well, what they're quitting the most is service industry jobs and retail jobs. It's like, have y'all not heard of OnlyFans? Do you know the millions of women on there, on FanCentro, on all these other websites? Like, finally, now that sex work isn't stigmatized the way it was when I started, when I was 18, why go put yourself through 40 hours a week when you can work 5 hours a week and make even more? Why is this a discussion in the news still? Really, why?
Why, Chad? Why is this still a discussion in the news? We joke, but she's got a point, right?
Yes, she easily has a point. And as we've said on the show on several occasions, that OnlyFans is a good way for a woman to be able to do her work without some old fuck slobbering all over her, right? Not to mention the content that they make. They have loads of libraries of content that they can make money off of instead of just that one dance that happened in that moment. So, I mean, from a business standpoint, it makes a hell of a lot more sense. And again, we've done stories on individuals who are making anywhere from $8,000 to $30,000 per month doing this. Why the fuck wouldn't they?
Yeah. Her comment about why do 40 hours a week at a job you hate when you could do 5 hours of work a week and make more money. It all goes back to OnlyFans on this podcast, Chad. I love it. I do feel like the sad stories are coming. I do think the regret is coming. I think we're going to start, and we have, but we're going to see more and more young women that have taken this route and will regret doing it, whether it's a future spouse finds out, family finds out, a future employer finds out, and there's going to be some remorse and regret. But she has a great point that if I'm looking at the down the barrel of 40 hours a week at a shit job serving food to assholes or just getting naked on camera, never underestimate horny men, Chad. They will fund anything. They will fight wars. And at this point, they might be helping out the great resignation happen in ways that we hadn't thought of before. So I got nothing else except that we'll continue to talk about OnlyFans, and I can't be more excited. And we should have more sound bites from porn stars, because that's just fun.
I've got to say, you know, I think, you know, we're all starting to evolve our thoughts, especially in the US. I mean, in Europe and other parts of the world, it's not a big deal, right? It's a big deal for us in the US because we have fucking tight sphincters. We are evolving our thoughts on many of these things. And, you know, if that guy finds out and he doesn't like it and he doesn't marry her, well, then fuck that guy. That's what it all comes down to. We only get one of these. We only get one of these, you know, on this crazy blue orb. You know, we got to enjoy ourselves any way that you feel like you need to. That isn't against the law.
Which, again, is why we're launching the Chad and Cheese OnlyFans account.
Nobody wants to see that. Joel Cheeseman's gravy channel.
Joel goes to Arby's next on OnlyFans. By the way, on the same show that we had a porn star soundbite, we had an Adam Gordon soundbite. I don't know if it gets any better than that, ladies and gentlemen. And with that,
one and the same.
We out.
Thank you for listening to, what's it called? A podcast. The Chad. The Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know. And yet, you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar. Blue. Nacho. Pepper Jack. Swiss. So many cheeses. And not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out!
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.